It worked! The day big unit worked!
We're through the looking glass here, people.
Did you hear something?
No.
Did I?
I don't know.
It's Simpsons time, and I'm going to talk about episode number 95, Lisa versus Malibu Stacy, directed by Jeffrey Lynch, written by Bill Oakley and Josh Weinstein, right in the middle of season 5. When those two writers were really coming out with guns blazing. They would also write Principal Seymour Skinner's Badass Song, which is the 100th episode. Oh, it seemed to come just a little bit later than this one. This is one of the episodes that is given away by the title. I don't have to jog your memory any. But what some people often forget is that there is quite a bit of this episode devoted to Grandpa. There's a robust B story. That, you know, deals with Grandpa becoming irrelevant and wanting to rejoin the workforce and for people to take him seriously again. And the show actually starts with the wonderful appearance of Matlock, appearance by Matlock in a public place where he is mobbed by old people. And when I watched this as a kid, that's where I first got the idea that old people really, really adore Matlock. A show that I had never seen. and that happens to a lot of people, or did happen to them a lot. With a lot of different shows that, by the time The Simpsons came out, were too old for many of its audience to have seen. Many, but not all. So yeah, woven into Lisa's whole grand feminist adventure of meeting Stacey Lavelle and going on the factory tour and the creation of Lisa Lionheart is the contrasting plight of Grandpa. One of his greatest boring rants. Happens in the car and as they are walking through the mall toward the toy store where the whole Malibu Stacy storyline is kicked off. The reason why they're going to the toy store in the first place is because Grandpa has willed them silver dollars, right? And various other not very useful items. And there's a moment where Grandpa and Lisa are sitting at the kitchen table a little bit later together, and Lisa's like, it sucks being a kid because no one listens to you. And Grandpa's like, it sucks being old because no one listens to you. That's the only time the two family members really converge, but it doesn't, you know, they don't need to. It breaks up the show nicely to have the somewhat serious story of Malibu Stacy cut with the somewhat frivolous story about Grandpa. Although, you know, they are both very human stories. And Grandpa's is more realistic. Whereas Lisa's, you know, visiting Stacy Lavelle at the Barbie Dream House and all of the doll being covered by Kent Brockman on the news and stuff is much more grand. And eye-popping and stops being pulled out-ish. And just to tie up the grandpa story before I start to talk about the Malibu Stacy story, in case I forget to come back to it, grandpa gets a job at a burger joint, and he's completely befuddled from the beginning. We sell French fries? And it is only when he's confronted with his peers, the old age home residents, the same people that we saw in the beginning mobbing Matlock, on the other side of the counter, with, you know, a barrage of complaints, that he realizes that the whole reason why he's old is to complain and not to be at work. So he is once again spiritually free. It is very known in Simpsons lore that Oakley and Weinstein loved to write for Grandpa. And this is a very good example of that. On to Malibu Stacy. Lisa, like all little girls, is completely captivated by the idea that Malibu Stacy is going to talk. That there's finally a talking Malibu Stacy. And this, viewers of The Simpsons would recognize very readily as the scandal of talking Barbie, who just a few years before had been released, and one of the things she said was, "Math is hard," which did not go over too well. So she buys Malibu Stacy. She the cute thing that she does always gets me, where she puts Malibu Stacy in front of a podium, you know, posed before all her other dolls. And she pulls the string, and over again, Malibu Stacy says, like, horrible, sexist things. One of which she even flings in the face of Marge later on, when Marge tries to discourage her from standing up for herself. Normally I'd tell you to stand up for what you believe in, but you've been doing an awful lot of that lately. Now let's forget our troubles with a big bowl of strawberry ice cream. And Lisa angrily pulls the string and holds up the doll to Marge's face. And she says exactly that about the strawberry ice cream. None of Lisa's friends at school care about this, like, you know, as usual when it comes to Lisa and her causes. The mainstream girls think she's stupid and they reject her ideas. And when she says the word sexist, they just giggle and they say Lisa said a bad word. So she has to go it alone as usual. But Marge helps her by taking her on the factory tour. I love the gag in the factory when the workers are assembling the Malibu Stacy bodies on the assembly line. And the lady executive giving the factory tour is like, some say there's a little fairy dust in the air. And it's like big, burly, gross guys with cigarettes hanging out of their mouths being like, there's a jam in the torso chute. Quite good. Quite funny. At the tour is where Lisa learns that the world's biggest collector of Malibu Stacy stuff is Waylon Smithers. So that comes into play later on. Because it's important to have an adult who knows about Malibu Stacy and cares enough. To really be informative to Lisa. But then, of course, at the end of the tour, when Lisa tries to ask a question about this issue of the talking doll, the lady goes back into her board meeting and is surrounded by men who are, like, you know, catcalling and harassing her. And she's, like, all smiles and giggles, and she slams the door with her ass as she goes in. Which is just such a great piece of animation. I like that very much. So exasperated, Lisa goes to Smithers in an attempt to find the creator of Malibu Stacy herself, Stacy Lavelle. And I think somebody on the playlist already squawked about this, but when Smithers starts to show Lisa his Malibu Stacy newsletter and turns on his computer, that's when his homemade Burns screensaver meme pops up. You're quite good at turning me on. That's a Smithers joke that has always delighted me, too. It's, rather than hit you over the head with the stereotype of Smithers being gay, it hits you over the head with the fact that he's obsessed with Burns. And it's just, I don't know, it's like, it skirts the line, but stays well, you know, on the right side of it. And I would say the same for his Malibu Stacy collecting, too. It is just my opinion, but that's how I feel. So it is thus that Lisa comes to meet Stacy Lavelle, the real Malibu Stacy, who looks like Malibu Stacy and has a lush, deep cigarette and booze voice because Kathleen Turner does her voice. And they could not have picked a better actor to do that. Because it's great. She's Barbie. She's Kathleen Turner herself. She's a little bit Jane Fonda. She's, you know, this uber glamorous lady from some decades ago who is just still as glamorous as can be and lives in her dream house, cut off from the world, enjoying her highballs and reminiscing about her 5 ex-husbands. The dream house, of course, looks exactly like Malibu Stacy's dream house. She goes up to a gate, and behind the gate, she sees a pink mansion. Turns out she's the first little girl to ever track Stacy down. And wonder of wonders, and this is very satisfying too, as, you know, to me as a viewer. Stacy really listens to Lisa, and she agrees with her. That it is BS that the doll should be saying, you know, let's bake some cookies for the boys and stuff like that. The big zinger is, don't ask me, I'm just a girl, but there are many equally politically incorrect things that she is saying. Because Stacey Lavelle is progressive as fuck, and, you know, she wants to empower girls just like Lisa does, so that's great. We are treated to a little appearance by G.I. Joe, one of her ex-husbands, and that is really, really funny. First, the joke of all the different ex-husbands and the pictures of them. And they're all action figures, too. And then when Joe actually appears at the door, you see that he sort of moves a little bit stiffly, like he is actually like a life-size action figure, and he even has a seam between his neck and head. Please, Joe, release me from your kung fu grip. She's a really good character. So they put their heads together and they design a new doll. Who's an amalgam of all these feminist icons that they can name, including Kathy Geiswhite, which is, you know, definitely tongue-in-cheek. They also say she has the good looks of Eleanor Roosevelt. Oh, ha ha ha, male comedy writers, but still, it's, you know, funny. And after a short conference where the hair, the model of hair from each of the Simpsons was rejected, first rudely and then politely. Stacy decides that she's going to name the doll after Lisa. Lisa Lionheart. And the thing that Lisa Lionheart says is, believe in yourself and you can accomplish anything. The Malibu Stacy Corporation people are up in arms about this. They want to stop it in its tracks. I love the thing that they do. They call in a favor to their friend in Washington. You see, I don't know if it's supposed to be the president. I mean, they always use the real president, so it's not the president, but it's, you know, some senator type. After an establishing shot of the Capitol building, picks up the phone and, like, chuckles evilly. And then drives by the Simpsons house and throws a brick at their door, and that's all he does. So that measure fails to halt production of Lisa Lionheart. And something happens to really speed it along, its popularity. Namely, Kent Brockman devotes an entire newscast to it because his daughter told him to. This is the first time we see Kent Brockman's daughter. And, you know, voiced by Nancy Cartwright, it's not a character that was planned to be picked up at all afterward, but it is a really, really funny visual to see a little girl with the same, like, brill-creamed white hair. Just with, like, a ponytail stuck to the back. And she has the same shape head as well. Well, you were right about the Berlin Wall, sweetie. I guess we learned that Kent is fed most of his ideas from his 8-year-old daughter. Yeah, I guess concurrently with this, Lisa goes into the recording studio to do Lisa Lionheart's lines. And Krusty appears, you know, in his leisure clothes. And his rapid-fire reading before they even press record is just really amazing. Hey, it's Slideshow Mel. Again, Sideshow Mel. Sideshow Mel. In the end, of course, the doll fails. Lisa fails. No Simpson really is ever allowed to succeed for long. So it is good and right that the evil Malibu Stacy Corporation prevails in the end. I mean, it's not actually good and right, but within the life of the series, The Simpsons, at this point in time. It is proper and consistent that just as the throng of preteen girls and Smithers are rushing into the toy store just to get Lisa Lionheart, the stock boy wheels in a pallet of just the same old Malibu Stacy dolls, but with a new hat. And all hopes are dashed. Kudos, Lisa. Kudos. I love the line. It's very devastating and read very well. I'll say again that Kathleen Turner is, like, perfectly cast. Right before this happens, when they're marveling at the great display of Lisa Lionheart in the toy store, Stacy is like, "Oh, it was no problem. I just told them who I was and who you were, and that, you know, they fixed it right up." And Lisa goes, "Really?" And she goes, "Well, I didn't tell them who you were." It's like so good. So that's how it ends, with them failing. And Stacy trying to you know, half-heartedly pat Lisa on the back. And, yeah, it goes out on Homer playing the piano, the floor piano, in the style of the movie Big, which was the style at the time. Which, I think that's really, really funny, but it kind of ruins, it doesn't ruin it, but it takes me out of it a little bit that Homer breaks the piano both times. When he is doing the foot piano at the end, that's a callback to when we, you know, first saw Talking Malibu Stacy in the toy store, and Homer was distracted by the foot piano that time as well. I think it's funny enough just to have him dancing on the foot piano. That causes enough of a stir in the toy store and is annoying enough without him totally breaking it. But I would have allowed for just one breaking of it. Like, why does he have to break it twice? Anyway. Such a fine episode. And, you know, if you want to, think about it this holiday season as you do your shopping, be my guest. It's appropriate for that. Thank you for listening to Simpsons Time today.
Got myself a crying, talking, sleeping, walking, living doll.
This also, of course, the episode with Nuts and Gum, right after Grandpa and Lisa are talking, lamenting the fact that nobody listens to them. Homer segues into saying that everyone listens to him because he's in the perfect demographic. And then, of course, he pulls the Nuts and Gum canister down from the shelf. All right. I'm Amanda Nazario. Thank you for listening to Simpsons Time through the Debigulator today. Not during the holiday season. It is, in fact, July 19th, if I have my calendar correct. But I'm very glad anyway that you are listening to this Simpsons discussion. I will talk to you next week, where we will talk about a different episode. And don't you wish you knew... No, don't you wish you knew which one it was. I will talk to you then. Bye. P.S. This is Cliff Richard singing Living Doll. Bye.